Do any of you guys remember the show The Newsroom? It was a show on HBO from 2012 to 2014, created and produced by Aaron Sorkin. It starred Jeff Daniels, Olivia Munn. It was an excellent show. I watched all three seasons 10 years ago, then I forgot about it. The show was centered around a cable newsroom, hence the title. Jeff Daniels plays a character named Will McAvoy, who hosts a nightly primetime cable news show. The character... it kind of reminds me of Bill O'Reilly. The show, it deals with office drama, happenings in the personal lives of the people working at the network, but the main focus of the show is centered around events that actually happened during that time period and showing how cable news reacts and produces it. I was scrolling through the on-demand section of my satellite package over the weekend. I came across The Newsroom on HBO. I remembered the series from 10 years ago. I started rewatching it. Watching it now, it is a completely different experience than watching it 10 years ago. I've only made it through a couple of episodes in season one. They have focused on Gabby Giffords getting shot in Arizona, the Arab Spring that happened in 2011 when riots and governments were being overthrown in Egypt, Libya, other countries throughout the Middle East, the proposed mosque that they wanted to build next to Ground Zero in New York City, the push for gay marriage, the protest in Wisconsin when they took over the Capitol. I remembered how I felt and a lot of other people felt when all of these things were happening back then. The country, the world, it seemed to be in the midst of change, unrest. People like Glenn Beck, who I like, by the way, I like Glenn Beck, but people like Glenn Beck screaming every day on radio and television that the sky was falling. Socialists and communists were uniting to take over the world. And look, it wasn't just Glenn Beck. A lot of people in the mainstream media were pushing this same notion. But just like it seems is always the case, we made it through everything just fine. Sure, things changed, some for the better, some for the worse. But rewatching all of that 10 years later, today, none of it seems as serious as it did back then. We are going through the same thing right now. The faces are different. The groups pushing for change are different. Some of the concepts are even different, but the end result will always be the same. We'll make it through it. The country is constantly in a state of change. Right now, the big fad is the LGBTGAY movement. Nearly 20% of kids, a record high, 20% of kids are identifying as LGBT. Companies are forcing their employees to attend sensitivity training to accommodate 7% of the overall population. It seems like the gender identity movement is taking over, but it's just simply not true. Me and my girlfriend, we were talking about this last night, how social media influences kids, hell, how social media even influences adults, how the mainstream media influences the overall population, how it seems like corporate America is endorsing this movement. At one point, she asked me something to the effect of, is this how everything is going to be going forward? And I said, no, this transgender movement amongst kids, it's just a fad. It's no different than the hippies from the 60s, the disco era of the 70s, grunge in the 90s. Fads always pass, they fade away. Right now, companies are being accommodating because they're afraid of being sued. Even if they have one employee in the LGBT community, just one, they feel like everyone else has to accommodate them or they're going to face a lawsuit. What's going to end up happening, though, is no one will hire them going forward. That'll put an end to it. The point is, there's always fads. We are always in the midst of change. Right now, the television industry is going through something similar to what the music industry faced in the early 2000s. The foundation of the television industry is being rebuilt. Consumers will be fine. We'll make it through it. Cable news will be okay. Cable news is cheap to produce when compared to other forms of entertainment. Your major sports leagues, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, they'll be fine. WNBA, I'm sorry, you're screwed. Sports networks are completely fucked. Last summer, we did a video on the state of ESPN. I told you guys in that video there would come a point in the next 10 or so years that ESPN could cease to exist. Well, It seems that prediction is slowly coming to fruition. Credit to Clay Travis over at OutKick, who did the hard work and researched the numbers I'm about to share with you. Back in October of 2016, ESPN was losing, on average, just over 20,000 cable and satellite subscribers every day. Back then, executives at the network were in a panic. There were no celebratory woke hugs. The woke hug initiation, welcoming new members into Woke United Methodist, they were postponed. At the time, it was the worst month in the history of the network. Now, fast forward to 2021, just last year. ESPN lost 22,000 subscribers every day. 8 million customers vanished in 1 year. Now, there are a variety of factors leading to the potential demise of ESPN. Their dedication to wokeness has something to do with it. ESPN is by far the most woke and the most expensive network on cable. Many people have become so disgusted with ESPN, they just simply refuse to pay for it, even if it's only $10 every month. Some people don't want their hard-earned money paying for scholarships so a future shitfuck can be poisoned at Woke U. Another thing that's hastening the decline of ESPN is the internet. Like I said, this is similar to what record companies have been dealing with since the early 2000s. Music artists today, they no longer need record labels to distribute their music. They can do it on their own. SportsCenter has lost the cultural impact that it's had for decades. Opinion shows on ESPN, they're not as entertaining as they were in the past. Why? ESPN doesn't have the on-air talent. They used to have NFL analysts like Ron Jaworski, Merrill Hodge, Tom Jackson, Ray Lewis, guys who, you know, knew and talked about football. Today we have analysts like Mina Kimes, who has never stepped on an NFL field unless she was wearing a pair of high heels. She's never been on an NFL roster, never coached an NFL team. Mina Kimes, she was a gender equity statistics professor at Woke U, who was transferred into an analyst role at ESPN because the potted plants were dying in the studio. As you guys know, Katie Nolan produces some of the best carbon dioxide. Plants thrive on the Katie Nolan brand of CO2. In 2020, Katie Nolan was being phased out at ESPN for being completely useless. They needed to keep the ficus alive, so they brought in Mina Kimes instead. There has never been less on-air talent at ESPN than there is today. Just think about it. Just think about this for a second. Outside of Stephen A. Smith, who is a crossover superstar at ESPN? The ESPN radio division, which used to dominate sports radio? ESPN radio is dead. Can you name a SportsCenter anchor? Can you name one? What, Scott Van Pelt? Hell, that's the only one I know of. Part of the reason ESPN struggles with talent is self-inflicted. You must identify as a woke dumbass to work there, which eliminates 85-90% of the country who identify as normal. But podcasting and YouTube is destroying the available talent pool at ESPN. You no longer need major media conglomerates to make an impact and, more importantly, to make a living. You now have the ability to do it independently and keep all the money to yourself. And also, you don't have to listen to some boss tell you what you're going to say. Trey Wingo actually alluded to this yesterday on Twitter. Some dumbass asked him about his paycheck from ESPN, clearly not realizing he hasn't worked there in months, maybe even a year at this point. Trey Wingo replied and said, "Right now, I am making triple the money I was making at ESPN." Now, the biggest and most obvious reason for the future demise of ESPN is cord cutting. Cord cutting is affecting all major media outlets on cable and satellite, but it's going to have a devastating, and it is having a devastating effect on ESPN. Right now, ESPN is generating $9 billion a year from cable and satellite subscriptions. That sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. But that figure is steadily dropping, and it's dropping fast. And the time it takes you to watch this video, ESPN will lose another 15 to 20 subscribers. They make another $2.5 billion every year in ad revenue. Since Mina Kimes is an expert in statistics, I contacted her to do this math for me. She replied back with a figure of $11.5 billion every year. Now again, like I said, this figure's declining by the second. ESPN, they pay nearly $3 billion every year for the rights to broadcast Monday Night Football, $1.4 billion for the NBA, whose rights deal is about to expire, and it ain't going down. The NBA is going to want a substantial increase. Major League Baseball, UFC, SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, College Football Playoff, the NHL, all sports where broadcast rights are going to be going up while ESPN revenue is rapidly declining. But KC, what about streaming? ESPN Plus is growing exponentially. Yeah. Yeah. That's what ESPN was relying on too. Here's the problem with streaming. ESPN Plus has around 22 million subscribers. However, a lot of those are bundled packages. It's people who bought the UFC and they don't give a shit about anything else on the platform. People who have ESPN Plus included with their cable or satellite package. It's not a dedicated audience. If you're the NFL, do you want Monday Night Football available to 75 million subscribers or 22 million? The NFL, the NBA, they're not allowing ESPN to broadcast exclusively on ESPN Plus. So what you're left with on the platform is the UFC and old sports footage. Other streaming services, Netflix, HBO Max, you can get away with a library of old content. Someone like me, for example, who's rewatching The Newsroom 10 years later on HBO Max, doesn't work that way in sports. The vast majority of sports content is consumed live. How many people do you know who are willing to rewatch the 2009 NBA Finals? Who wants to rewatch the Super Bowl from a few months ago? ESPN doesn't generate enough revenue through streaming to pay for the NBA, much less the NFL, college football, and everything else they broadcast live. The question is, how does ESPN fix this problem? The answer is, they don't. Disney CEO Bob Chapek, he basically admitted last week, they don't have an answer to the problem. He doesn't have an answer because there's not one. ESPN's business model is antiquated. It's not sustainable. But KC, what happens to live sports games? What happens to Monday Night Football, NBA playoffs? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. We're already seeing sports slowly migrate to streaming services. Major League Baseball on Apple, NFL on Amazon. From a consumer perspective, the problem right now with streaming, there's too many fucking streaming services. The market's saturated. Streaming services, they're expected to lose 150 million subscribers globally this year. Now, I don't know what the future of sports broadcasting holds. I don't know. All I know right now, ESPN's in trouble. And to be honest with you, I ain't upset about it. Fuck the woke assholes. But let me know what you think. Do you agree? Is ESPN teetering on the brink of existence? Is the woke Titanic slowly sinking to the bottom of the woke sea? Do you watch ESPN anymore? Sound off in the comments below. Make sure to like and subscribe. Click the notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com. KC_BTL84 on Twitter. I'll see you guys later.